Obviously, we're getting used to some of our different technology here. Thank you. Excuse me. Collective bargaining, sales of real property, again, things that this commission is not likely to engage in, litigation, those kinds of things, things that have a legitimate reason to be closed because it could potentially harm the public interest if it was open. So security, investigative discussions, going through the procurement process and ensuring and discussing various bids or making a decision about certain things. Again, not things that this group may end up doing, but we want to make sure you're aware of those rules, of that code, excuse me. Meetings can be held electronically, as is this one, if there's a resolution rule or ordinance governing the use of electronic meetings. You still do need to give public notice that you establish an anchor location if necessary. And there are some special rules for that for an anchor location if there is a public emergency, as there has been with COVID-19. So, as I said, very quick overview of the Open and Public Meetings Act. Why do we need to follow this? Obviously, there are sanctions if we do not follow the Open and Public Meetings Act law. Final actions can be voided by a court if we did not follow the proper process. Members could potentially be found guilty of a misdemeanor. Don't foresee anything like that happening with this particular commission, but we want to make you aware. And the most important thing is that we're here to build public confidence in the actions taken by the body and to conduct the public's business in public and in an open format so that the citizens and the residents of the state can know what is being done by the government. So that's a very short introduction. I'm going to stop sharing and open for any questions, but it is fairly straightforward.
I'll facilitate that part. Thank you so much. Any questions for our presenter, Ms. Peck? McPeck? Am I saying it correctly, Amanda? Please do correct me.
It's McPeck. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Senator.
Oh, we do have co-chair, Melissa, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is a little off tangent from the commission, but when you have local homeless councils that are specified, but they're not in statute, I don't think, or maybe they are, maybe that I just answered my own question, but do they technically have authority? They're under the Office of Homeless Services, right? And not necessarily under the DWS anymore. So, the actual LHCs, are they technically public bodies because they're supposed to be run by an elected official? Or are they a specified body? Or do you happen to know? Sorry, I'm putting you away on the spot, so I apologize.
You're okay. I haven't looked specifically at that code, so I'm not sure. My guess from what you've described is that it's a specified body, and there are some slightly different expectations for specified bodies, but they do still essentially need to be following most of the Open and Public Meeting Act rules. But we do provide administrative support for our Office of Homeless Services, so we will certainly be reviewing that and determining and providing guidance to those organizations.
Great. Thank you. Sorry to jump off a different tangent, but I was just curious.
Not a problem. I'm kind of used to that.
Great. Any other questions for our presenter today? And again, you know, per her presentation, the chances that we will be in violation of that act is pretty slim to none, just based on the nature of what we address and how we structure our meetings. But it's always a good reminder that what you may think is, oh, we can just get together and discuss this, maybe in violation of that. And there's an expectation as a commission that's created in statute that we will follow that those laws, and the public will have access to participate on this. And I think we do great when it comes to these practices. And I want to thank the staff of DWS, because usually it's someone in the state that already knows by heart how this works, and other legal counsel checking on the process. And in this case is Sarah and her team. So thank you. And any closing remarks, Ms. McPack, that you want to share, or like, we just want to thank you for that.
No, nothing else. I'm very glad to be with you all today, and thank you for your time. I'm just going to turn off my camera. I'll be available if there are other questions later.
Thank you again, and happy holidays, Amanda, and to you and your family. Okay, so now in the this is always good information. Absolutely. Thank you, Representative White, to everyone sharing her take on making sure we get reminded of the protocols and policies related to the Open Public Act meeting. So with that, I'll pass the time to my co-chair, and she'll take it from here and the rest of the agenda. Melissa.
Thank you. So, and hi, everybody. It's so nice to see your faces. Beautiful faces. Wonderful, amazing, glittery, light faces. So just really quickly, we're going to go through subcommittee updates, and really happy to say that I think all the subcommittees are up and moving, not necessarily meeting yet, but really exciting, the work that's happening. So some of the subcommittees are further along than others, but that's what we'll go through today. So we'll start with the communications subcommittee. And a couple things that we're working on. I'm just going to cover the legislative letters. So what we've been working on as a communication committee is to get a save the date letter out to all of the legislators, letting them know when our next meeting is at the end of January, which is, I believe, the first week or the second week of the session. And that's typically the meeting where legislators can present their upcoming or current and existing bills and get everyone's feedback. So we will be, with Mahal's help, getting RSVPs, but the first letter to go out is drafted, and we're just working with Senator Escamilla to make sure that that's what she likes. What we're thinking and what we're recommending, we'd like everybody's opinion, in particular the legislators on this group, is we were thinking that maybe rather than last year we sent it out from both Senator Escamilla and myself as co-chairs, we thought it might be worth sending out from all of the legislators on the Women in the Economy Commission. And so Representative Lisenby, I know you're here, and Representative Waite, I know that Senator Milner is not here right now, but we would love your guys' input, and if you would be willing to sign on a letter, and if so, Mahal would send you the draft letter so that you can read through it, make sure that you don't have any thing that you're uncomfortable with or changes you want to make, and then we would just ask to have your signatures included on that. So I will stop there and ask the three of you if you guys are comfortable with that.
So this is Representative Lisenby, and thank you for asking. I would be happy to look at a letter. I can't commit to signing a letter that I haven't read yet, but happy to look at it. Send it over.
Great. Thank you. And it's basically generic. It's basically just saying what the history of the Women in the Economy Commission is. And I'm not looking for your feedback right now. I just wanted to give you a heads up. And basically saying we have a meeting coming up in January, and it's historically a meeting that we run, and we invite legislators to come and present. So, but we'll definitely send that to you. Representative Waite, are you comfortable?
I'm comfortable because, I was involved in crafting the letter last year. I'm expecting the content is exactly as you say. It's kind of a common practice for legislators not to guarantee signatures on things they haven't read yet. But I know the whole purpose of this is just what we did last year, and that's to, and in this case, save the date. And I like the idea coming from other legislators. It helps the body understand that this is a meeting for them.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll watch for it.
Thank you. And Senator, I'm assuming with thank you. And then we'll follow up with Senator Milner as well. So with that said, that's what I was going to report out on the subcommittee. And also I'm going to turn the time over to Maren Christensen to also report out on some of the other activities that we've been doing and maybe to introduce Madison. She's here as well.
Well, I will introduce Madison by saying she posted her first video of a commissioner introduction, and it was so great. It was of Anne Marie, who answered her questions beautifully. So those were posted on the socials, and we'd ask you to like and share it if you haven't already, and just like and share everything that the commission socials are posting. That would be awesome if you haven't followed us yet. Other updates are our subcommittee co-chairs of Madison and Mahal met to develop a Google spreadsheet that we will be sharing with our other subcommittee members shortly. This is to really finalize the changes of what we want to see on the new website. It was really helpful to be able to see what's doable and under the DWS kind of style. So I think we have a good kind of strategy forward on that, but also the ability to add ideas for new communication subcommittee members. So expect that shortly.
Great. Thank you, Maren. And Madison, anything that you would like to add?
Just repeating, Maren, if you can go share that video, that'd be really helpful. And Commissioner Wallace did great. I was just wondering if anyone was going to be available Wednesday or Friday. I know we're going into the holiday this week, so it's totally okay if not, but I'm just trying to get some more interviews done and recorded. If anyone is free Wednesday or Friday that would want to do those either in the morning or early afternoon, or if this week doesn't work, that's totally fine.
And I'll just say, Madison, if you need to redo mine, and if you're up here, and we can talk offline with Karen, and maybe we can coordinate together if you want.
Yours is pretty good still, so I'll share it with you and see if you like it, and if you don't like it, of course, we can redo it. But so far, so good, yeah.
Okay.
And it looks like people are busy this week, no worries. I'll try and get some the week after Thanksgiving's over. Thank you, guys.
Okay. And it might be helpful, Madison, if you want to send me and Maren just a list of who you do have, and we can help you reach out as well.
So. Okay, perfect. Yeah. And I can reach out. I know a couple fell through, but that's okay. We'll get it done eventually.
Okay. Thank you very much. And good job on everything that you've done. You've done an amazing job. So really thank you very much.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks, guys.
Great. Representative Waite, would you like to report out on the policy subcommittee?
I actually need to turn this to Senator Escamilla, if possible, because I was unable to attend the last meeting, and I haven't caught up with the minutes. I apologize to everyone. My schedule has been in flux because for all of us who take care of relatives who are going through heart disease and surgery, where my family is now in its 12th week of rotating schedules. So it's a dear time, but we're definitely learning how it interferes with all of our stable lives. But anyway, so I apologize for not keeping up with and missing that last meeting. And I hope that Senator Escamilla is in a position for, there she is. I'm so grateful for you, Senator Escamilla, because I know you were on that call, and I had to call in and just say, I'm in outer space and can't.
I'm sorry, Representative, for putting you on the spot. But
yeah. Well, and now I all have taken up your time with my crazy life. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Waite. I'm more than happy to just bring some maybe a recap of that meeting. It was a really good meeting, and please don't ever apologize for sharing what it means to be a woman in life and just dealing with everything. And thank you for being an example to everyone that you're able to do to serve the state while dealing with your personal and family issues. So I appreciate that. So the policy committee actually went into a really good presentation and discussion related to a child care subsidy issue that's been, I think, many of you guys in your radar the last 18 months, give or take, a year and a half. And I think from this meeting, which was a really good meeting, we had Dr. Madsen was there. Oh, there she is here too as well. And other members of the committee itself and other commissioners. I think we, you know, it was a lengthy conversation of what different groups, including the YWCA, Centro de la Familia, and I'm going to probably say the name of the organization related to childcare, but if someone can just write it down and I'll give the correct term, the correct name of the organization. But they've been working really hard as advocates addressing this issue of it's a policy interpretation of a policy interpretation of federal rule. And it's within DWS. And we've been engaged in that conversation. I say we because I've been in some of those conversations. The good, I guess the good thing is that I can report, which is a good, you know, I don't get to say that many good reports on some of the stuff, but there's the good outcome, I think, of the great advocacy work of many in this meeting today, in this Zoom meeting, is that the executive branch has decided to, they after the comments they got from a rule change proposal that they had, they're reconsidering, they decided not to move forward with that rule change they were proposing, and they just presented a different, new language into the rule that is, I think, will fit more adequately to what not only advocates, but what the real intent of the federal rule is and the federal law, which is all federal money, by the way, and this, again, is child care subsidies for U.S. citizen children that we're discussing here. And it's a technical piece in the wording of some affidavits and information that parents have to provide and so forth that was creating some barriers for specific families. And I think the new wording, DWS shared that information, and it's, I believe, public already. So there's a 30-day public time for this new rule to get the feedback. And they expect the feedback to be very different from what the one they got a month ago. And I just want to applaud everyone that participated on that advocacy process, because that's when you realize the power of community and the power of many women and parents that were speaking up about, you know, just how certain rules can certainly create more barriers for specific families. And in this case, a very specific group of U.S. citizen children that were being denied access to this subsidy. So it's not over, of course. It's in the 30-day process. And then from there, obviously, comes also to administrative rule with the Utah State Legislature, because, of course, the legislature approves all rulemaking and provides that rulemaking authority to the executive branch. So that's in place. So what took place in that meeting was the conversation of all of this, some strategy. There was a lot of emotions. So Representative Wade just expressed some emotion. I did express my emotion on that meeting. And I just, you know, I'm just glad that things are looking better and hoping for the best outcome. And again, I know there's other members. So and Representative Wade, if you want other members of your committee to share that were participating on that meeting, I think that's also appropriate, and they were very effective. So I know Gabriela is here, Dr. Madsen is here, and others. Sarah was in that meeting as well. And, you know, just overall, I think it was a positive thing. And the outcome now is, you know, not out of this meeting, but the outcome of this group of advocates coming together and bringing this issue to light is that now you have what I believe a better language on that rule. But yep, that will be my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If anyone else wants to make any comments, please raise your hand. Otherwise, we will go to Commissioner Lyon-Cotty. And I don't want to put you on the spot, Commissioner, but if she's out, what I will say is the update on the research subcommittee is that we do have a date set. We will be meeting in the next, in between the Women in the Economy Commission. And so Commissioner is currently and actively looking for subcommittee members. So she is up and moving, and we will be meeting next month. So again, really exciting, and thank you, Mahal, on everybody's behalf. You've been super duper helpful, so thank you very much. And with that, Senator Escamilla, I will hand it back over to you for public comment.
Excellent. Well, you know, we're moving along on this one, and it's always the end of the year. It tends to be more like logistics as we prepare for 2022 this time. But this is the time for public comments, and this is when we hear from the public and our community and advocates and anyone, any member of the community that wants to share their thoughts and feelings almost. And I know we have some members of the public here today. So if you can raise your hand so we know, so we can, you know, pass the time to you, and more than happy to hear on anything that's related to women in the economy and the work we do here in this commission.
Yeah. And I would just add, if, Gabriella could introduce herself maybe, and if anyone here, I don't recognize all the names, so it'd be awesome for people to introduce, or if a commissioner feels comfortable making the introduction as well, that is certainly welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hi, my name is Gabe Bartoletta. I am the Director of Public Policy at YWCA Utah, and it's just a privilege to be in this meeting with all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. And we do have Jared. Jared, do you want to, were you in our previous meeting? But welcome to our meeting.
I have been in previous meetings.
Yes, I've seen your name before. So
you all know who I am. I'm one of the public information officers with the Department of Workforce Services. So I just help out support.
Of course. Thank you, Jared. And we know you, so it's always a pleasure to see you again. And anyone else? Do you have anyone else from the public? And maybe just Commissioner Ness, co-chair, I just want to share that, you know, and I do have two members of the legislature here, two of our my colleagues here. We are heading to the legislature, to the session, you know, pretty soon here. You're going to see more activity in December. You know, my December is gone already. I'm like, well, snap, no more days for meetings. They're all packed. So I think this is also an opportunity to remind everyone you're going to start seeing maybe more issues coming our way, and issues that the commission may have an opportunity to participate, hence why that letter is so critical, because we do get to engage with legislators, and it's always in a respectful and productive, proactive manner. And I think some legislators already know who we are, and they come on a regular basis, because many of the bills and issues that they're obviously working on have a direct impact on women in the economy in the state. I would just put some interesting, perspective is that this new appropriation process, with all the new revenues coming in out of the, you know, CARES Act and other federal money and federal injection money that's been injected to our economy, will create an interesting conversation on resources and the economy, of course. But just, I think, more of our opportunities for our commission to participate in those conversations in the near future. And, you know, I know we have Representative Lisenby and Representative Wade, which both of them are working on issues that are actually directly impacting women. And I get to see them in some committees. So I know they probably will have some issues to bring to the commission that are really, really helpful and will move the needle to make the quality of life of women in our state better. So just want to end with that part. Unless there's anybody else that has any other comments, I mean, this is the time, guys.
I'll just add, Senator, that we recognize how busy you guys get. And so the communications subcommittee, we are talking about how we can keep the flow of information and the policies and all of that organized in a way that you guys can easily navigate as well. We know you'll be sort of somewhat out of commission. And so I just want you to know that we have your back, and we're working on making sure that that is as easy as possible for you guys as, you know, so recognizing that you guys are a hair on fire for a while.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Well, that's it in my part, co-chair. So I don't know if we, is there anything else in the agenda? I'm now opening my agenda again because it got close.
Yeah. No, the only thing else just to assist is new business. I don't think there is any, and we'll have an upcoming meeting. The next meeting is January 25th, but that will be geared toward policy. We will be inviting legislators to present their legislation. And then just by way of reminder, we'll either support in concept or we will provide feedback. And so it's a relatively painless process. And for those legislators who have experienced that before, we've gotten 2 years worth of really good feedback that it was, they appreciated the process and they appreciate coming to one meeting with so many different perspectives. And so we've gotten lots of positive feedback from it in the past. So that will be a plan for January 25th and from 2 to 4. And then Mahal, I think, will be sending out just a final RSVP. So you'll see the legislator, the either the bill number, and if it's not numbered yet, just the subject or topic, and then the time that they will be presenting. And we'll determine whether it's 5 minutes or 7 minutes or 3 minutes, just depending on how many want to present and how much time we have left. So that will be in flux, but we'll send it out prior to the meeting.
And Melissa, I know we probably missed one piece of the agenda, and that was we do have some nominations for people, members of the public that want to engage with some of our committees. I know Gabe, Gabriella was ready to participate and be part of the policy committee. So I don't know if we have to formally nominate her, or is that just internally through the committee itself?
I think it's just internally through the committees. Okay. The subcommittees can add anyone that they would like, and it can change, right? It doesn't have to be a formal member. So if there's a certain topic they want to have a subject matter expert attend, they can do that too. So I think it's internal.
Perfect. Well, thank you. And I know Gabe is more than ready and gearing towards the session, which is all she does during the session is be in the session as an advocate and representing her organization. So I'm sure it's going to be a great addition to the committee, the subcommittee that's chaired by Representative Wade. So thank you. Just for, and I'll just say, I know Gabriella from many, many years. So, you know, we go back. Yeah. When we were just teenagers, right? Not that long ago, Gabriella. Great. Thank you.
Well, welcome. And I just want to recognize Dr. Madsen's here too. So that's the only person we hadn't recognized on the group. So.
Sorry, I'm taking phone calls in the middle of the meeting. You know, I have to multitask. I did want to say one quick thing, though, and I think a few of you know this already, but I think you're going to find this interesting. On December 2nd, we will be releasing a white paper that was commissioned by Zions Bank, and it will have some really interesting data in it related to women in the economy. It is a paper that specifically we were asked to go back to the 17 indicators that were used in the Wallet Hub's, Utah's the worst state for women's equality. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. So that hits, you know, every year. And we went back to the details, the original sources. Some were census data, you know, resources, lots of different resources, and then pulled that and then looked at the 100 points and have an actual list of very specific things that Utah needs to do to up those points and not be the last in the state. So, and 10 of the 17 were our workplace environment. Three are related to education and health, and then 4 are related to political empowerment, and each has point values. So it's just to have that on your radar. It'll be released on December 2nd with actual point values of how we can move. And of course, as you know, it's not all about just the points. It's not all about, it is good to get off a list of poor, you know, views of women in Utah, but you know, the goal, it's kind of a proxy for we do want to change women's lived experiences. I was just probably on 3 calls today where people specifically shared and talked about sexism in very strong ways just this afternoon alone, probably 3 calls. So just have that on your radar, that will be coming out on next week. Thank you. Thanks for recognizing me, Melissa.
Senator, would you like a motion, or do we need a motion to adjourn or not? Okay, I'll make the motion to adjourn then.
Yeah, that's non-debatable. Everyone in favor, say aye. Great.
Aye.
Well, thank you, everyone. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, everybody.
Stay safe, guys. Take care.
Thank you.